This is the MPPD Podcast, Mount Pleasant, South Carolina.
Welcome to the first MPPD Podcast. I'm Officer Bill Martin. As you can tell from my accent, I'm not a local. I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. I have a degree in English education. When I moved down here in 2012, I fully expected to be teaching English education. But life, as it often does, had different plans for me and led me to what I believe has been my true calling, law enforcement. I've been working at the Mount Pleasant Police Department now for 5 years, a little over that. I'm the accreditation manager for the department. I'm assistant to the public information officer. And I've run programs like our Citizens Police Academy for the last 3 years, also Coffee with a Cop. A few weeks ago, Chief Ritchie came up with the idea of doing a departmental podcast as a way of further reaching out to our community. We already have great support and interaction on our social media platforms like Facebook, Twitter, Nextdoor, Instagram. The idea of reaching our community through a different medium seemed like a great way to educate and inform our citizens on various subjects. Our hope with this podcast is that the information we share and discuss in this and in future episodes will be beneficial to the continued safety of our community. Now I'd like to introduce my co-hosts and today's guests, who have had the unfortunate luck of having to work with me on a daily basis. With me here is our public information officer, Inspector Don Calabrese, our Lieutenant of Traffic, Chip Googe, and our guests, Lieutenant Jennifer Backman and Senior Victim Advocate, Becky Tapia Cooper. Inspector Calabrese, you want to tell me a little bit about yourself?
I do. Thanks. Good morning. I've been with Mount Pleasant Police Department for the last 13 years. In my time here, I've worked as a training officer, the crime prevention officer, patrol supervisor, and prior to me moving to South Carolina, I worked at a few police departments along the Jersey Shore. I was a police officer in Seagirt, an EMT in Howell, and a dispatcher in Bradley Beach, New Jersey, and moved to the PIO position a little bit earlier this month, and I'm excited that this podcast is one of the first projects that I'm working on.
And Lieutenant Googe, you want to say a few words about yourself?
Yeah, I guess I'm the only non-transplant of the group since I grew up in the Charleston area. I've been with the police department for about 25 years. I started when I was 19 as a community service officer, went to the academy about a year later, and have been here ever since. I've worked in patrol, in traffic, investigations as a supervisor. Now I'm over the traffic bureau again as a lieutenant.
And you used to be the PIO.
I used to be the PIO. I don't bring that up because Don's doing a great job, and before him, Chris. So we've all been in that role at least one time or another.
And LT, you can't hold it against us. We got out as soon as we could and came to a good place.
That's right. I mean, you came to the best spot in the country, apparently, where everybody's heading to now.
Absolutely.
Even though the pizza may not be as good as in Brooklyn.
Well, now I have to give you that. You're absolutely right.
With us today are our guests, Lieutenant Jennifer Backman and Senior Victim Advocate Becky Tapia Cooper. Good morning, Lieutenant.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well this morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for being here. I know we've known each other for a little while. You hired me a few years ago, back in 2007.
Quite some time ago, hasn't it been?
It has been. It's been a fun ride, but can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I've been with the town of Mount Pleasant as a police officer for 26 years. And in that 26 years, I've worked patrol, I've worked school resource officer. Of course, it wasn't called that back then. But from then, I worked on investigations as a detective, and then later as a supervisor in detective office. And from there, assigned to internal affairs is where I met you. And then from then on, became a commander. And now I'm back in investigations, more focused in on the SROs and the victim advocates.
Well, thank you. I know you were the sergeant when you hired me, and I worked for you as my patrol lieutenant, my watch commander. So we appreciate you helping us out with this.
Yeah, we have a long, healthy history, don't we?
We do. Well, thank you. Good morning, Becky. Thank you for joining
us. Good morning. My name is Becky Tapia Cooper. I'm the Senior Victim Advocate here at Mount Pleasant Police Department. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. I was born and raised here in Charleston, and I have a associate's degree in human services, and I'm a certified in I am certified in victim services here in South Carolina, and I've been with Mount Pleasant Police Department for 2.5 years. I deal with a lot of different crimes such as scams, fraud, identity theft, domestic violence, and so many other crimes. My position is not just to assist victims of crime, it's also to ensure that our seniors in our community are safe and not being taken advantage of, neglected, make sure they're providing, I'm providing resources and things to them that they may need. Before the COVID-19 hit, I was out in the community a lot more doing home visits, welfare checks, going to hospitals and facilities. However, the virus has changed things a little bit, so we're having to do things a little different.
Oh yeah.
But the most important thing is to make sure that they're still safe and getting things that they need as far as resources or whatever the situation may be. Also, I deal a lot with seniors that are not able to take care of themselves, and if they figure out or we feel that they cannot take care of themselves, then we do the proper channel by, you know, making sure they have documentation from a doctor and things like that in case they need a guardian or conservator. So I do a lot of things through probate court to help them ensure that they're safe with their finances and making sure that their well-being is taken care of as well, and having someone make, you know, better choices for them than they can possibly make. And another thing I wanted to touch on is the Mount Pleasant Police Department and the Mount Pleasant Fire Department have a partnership on our SAFE program. So with the SAFE program, we offer our citizens a Knox box, and that's a locked key box that hangs over the top of the door. That way, if there's an emergency and a senior or a person with disabilities cannot get to the door when they call for assistance, instead of them doing forced entry, they can unlock the box with their master key and open the person's door without damaging their property.
Right. I've seen those Knox boxes, and they are amazingly strong. Like, mm-hmm. it's not like something that anyone could just go and get access to and, like, be able to get the key into that senior's house and get in there. It's made of steel. It's really, really, really strong, and only the fire department has the key.
Right, that's right. Correct.
And I believe our dispatch is aware of the houses that have the knock boxes.
So what we try to do when we set someone up on our SAFE program, we first of all we try to encourage them to also sign up for Smart 911. A lot of people don't know that even exists. But when you call 911, that does go to our Charleston County Consolidated Dispatch Center, you know, to dispatch the agency that needs to be assisting. But if you do Smart 911, that is where an individual can sign up for their own personal profile. That way, when they call in, all their information's already coming up. So when they do that, we ask them to make sure that they put on their profile that they're on our SAFE program and they do have a Knox box.
What other kind of information would be in the Smart 911 information other than the Knox box?
They could put their medical information, like what type of assistance they may need, like if they walk with a walker or right. have a wheelchair.
And medication, they could say it's in the refrigerator
right.
or in the cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Besides adding a list of their medicines, they can also put their emergency contact information on there, whether it's a family member, local, or a friend.
Right.
They can put their primary care doctor. They can put if they have animals in the house, what the animals' names are.
That's great, especially
things like that.
For fire and for us responding. It's good to know, like, for that kind of thing, like if there's an emergency, that we can get to those animals. It's
hey, it's an important thing with our community, right, with everybody, if they love their animals.
Another valuable tool about Smart 911 is you can upload a photo of yourself or your loved one that you're signing up for it. We have a lot of seniors or people in our community that have dementia and Alzheimer's. So if they get out and their loved one doesn't know and people have to start looking for them, whether it's the police or neighbors, mm-hmm, whatever, but if they have a photo uploaded, they're able to see what the person looks like. That way it makes assisting a lot faster because they know who they're looking for.
Right.
Not just a description.
That'd be a great benefit. I know Lieutenant Backman and I have been out looking for people in the past on the road, and I know that picture, this was a long time ago, but those pictures would have been very helpful.
That's right.
Absolutely.
An important thing about Smart 911, and I believe it's smart911.com, is the website where you can register. This is not a program just for seniors. It's for anyone. So on the police side of things, it's useful to us because you can also add your vehicles, like what vehicles you have, the plate numbers. So let's just say that we were brought in for an alarm call, like a burglar alarm. We could respond there, and if we have that information of what cars are supposed to be in the driveway, that helps us.
Right.
Like, we know, hey, these cars are supposed to be here, and it's not something different.
That's right.
So it's a really good program, and you should check it out.
Yeah.
What areas does that program service?
The Smart 911, mm-hmm, Charleston County. All of Charleston County. It doesn't have to be just Mount Pleasant. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't know about the program, so we try to get it out there as much as we can.
Right.
There's also a contact that works there that's able to help people sign up for it if they're not able to do it themselves on a website. They can kind of walk them through it. They used to go out to their homes, but I don't think they're doing that right now because of the virus, but they definitely call them over the phone, get their information, and they're able to insert it in their profile for them, so that works out well.
I think that's probably something I'm going to look into in my personal life when we're done with this talk. I think that'd be important for me and my family to get on board too. One of the things that we did want to discuss were scams in the community, and we know that you have some information experience with that, so thank you for being here. And can you give us some information on what people can do to protect themselves from scammers?
Sure. Unfortunately, scammers are smarter than us sometimes, so we have to kind of try to outsmart them. A lot of our scams and fraud incidents that our seniors face have a lot to do with predators asking for money and gift cards. It's not just them trying to get their personal information, but there's a lot of different types of scams that come at different angles. Different stories are told to our seniors a lot to convince them that the phone call and the situation that they're being told is real, it's not fake. And sometimes seniors, they're confused, or they may be hard of hearing, or some of them don't really hear from people that much, so when they do get a phone call, they're excited because they're actually getting to talk to somebody and they don't feel as lonely. One of the most biggest scams is when people say that the Social Security office is calling them. We all know that the Social Security office is not going to call you and ask you for your information. They're always going to notify you by mail. They'll send you paperwork. And besides that, if the Social Security office is calling you, they should already have your information. So that's another red flag. Another one that I've seen a lot of here lately is the computer one, where people try to hack into someone's computer and they make them seem like they're needing to have work done on their computer, and then they try to get their credit card information, and actually they're just trying to get in all their information so they can hack into other accounts, whether it's their banking or credit cards or things like that. So I would definitely recommend that if anything like that comes up on someone's computer, that they take it to a professional company, not to follow what's popping up on their screen. And if a phone number pops up, I don't recommend them calling that. I would recommend them either Googling or finding out the name, the phone number from the company themselves, not just going off the one on the computer.
Looking up the legitimate number for the bank or the whatever institution is trying to reach out to them. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Becky, have you heard of the scam when someone's grandson or granddaughter calls and said that they're in trouble and needing money?
I have. They call and they say they're in jail and they need money for an attorney, things like that. But most of the time, they'll call someone that don't have a grandson or don't have a granddaughter, so that'll throw up a red flag. Or, you know, there's different situations, but they're trying all kind of different tactics these days to scam. And really, it's not just seniors, though. I mean, any age can be scammed these days.
Oh, I've seen that happen. I've seen it happen to, you know, moms in town where they get that phone call and they say, we've got your daughter, and if you don't give us X amount of money in gift cards, something's going to happen to them. And they'll even have the child say something, and it probably doesn't sound anything like their child or their grandchild, but the panic takes place that something bad is happening, and you're not listening with that detail.
That's right.
You're reacting with emotion. And I remember this one time, the caller said, you have to stay on the phone with me. Stayed on the phone while she drove around to different places getting gift cards. And throughout the thing, it was about, I guess it was about $100, $150 worth of gift cards. And I remember saying to the mom at some point, didn't that seem like a little bit like low end on paying off your daughter $150? Like at some point, didn't that ring a bell that like, hey, this may not be, but once you're in the panic of it, it gets its grip on you and you go through with it. It happens all the time and not just to seniors.
That's right. And so when someone calls and says, your social security number's been compromised, your check's going to be cut off, something like that, that's their only source of income, of course they're going to go in panic mode.
Exactly.
And they're not going to think straight because all they're thinking about is my money's going to be cut and, you know, how am I going to live? How am I going to buy groceries?
Right.
Even I'm in my 40s and I've even gotten that call where your social security number's been compromised. Of course,
oh, yeah.
I just hang up. So I try to encourage everybody, even when I go through reports and someone's been a victim of fraud or scam, and even if I can't really do nothing to help them solve it, I try to talk them through it, give them advice where they're not victims again, because a lot of times once you're a victim, they will try to come after you again, whether it's the same tactic or a different one, they know you're vulnerable. So I try to, you know, talk to people and educate them where they don't go through that again.
And another thing that I just was reading about was, speaking of fear, COVID is causing some other scams. Has any of you heard about this?
Yeah, I've heard. Right now, scammers are using the current pandemic to try and use fear to install malicious software on your phones and or to scam you out of money. So what they're doing right now is they're impersonating government agencies, trying to get you to click on a link that will either put malicious code onto your phone, or they're saying call this number, text on this, and get $30,000 in COVID relief, which there's no government agency or entity that's offering that type of money. So again, they're preying on people's fears and lack of fear of what's going on in the world right now. They're taking what's happening around them now and just using that to try and scam you out of money. So just know that no government agency is offering that type of relief to individuals. Don't let them prey on your fears to get that money from you.
Right. And another COVID scam that I read about is an actual phone call where you're told that you've been in contact with someone who has COVID and you need to quarantine for 14 days and they need to send you a testing kit. And in order to send the testing kit, of course, they need your credit card information and all your whatever other
right. They're always looking for that personal information, your social security number, your date of birth, mother's maiden name, something they can use to open a credit card or some type of personal information to steal your identity and just clean you out that way. So.
So it sounds like if it's too good to be true.
It always is. It's never. Mm-hmm. It's never. If something's giving you something for free, or if they're playing off your fears, it's not true.
We have a lot of cases where people get things in the mail where someone has stole their identity and they've opened up phone accounts and different things in their name, and then they don't pay the bill. So of course it ends up going back to the person that the identity was stolen from. So I try to encourage everybody to get that free credit report every year and go through it. That way you can kind of see if things are being opened up in your name that you're not aware of. And you can also put that block on there or freeze where nothing can be opened up with your information unless, you know, you go through the security questions and, you know, you answer what you've got set up, and not everybody's going to know that information. So that's another big one that we deal with a lot too.
Becky, one of the things I noticed with scams, unfortunately, is these scammers do this for full-time work. That's their job, so they tend to be good at it and getting that information. And like we brought up a couple times, that common tactic is fear and some sort of time restraint. So one of the things, if you think about two examples of a phone call, first one being someone calls, says, "Good morning, may I have your social security number?" You might have some bells go off and say, mm-hmm. "No, I'm not going to provide that information." You're a little bit more clear-headed. But a second phone call, if you think about it in this way, is someone calls and says, "There's unusual activity on your account. You must give me your social security number or everything's going to be frozen within an hour." It's that immediate fear of your account getting locked down and that time. It's almost like the clock is clicking down for people. So that tone, I think, sets those two conversations apart. And it's important to take a breath, make sure you're evaluating that information and thinking, have I reached out to anybody? Has my credit card company set up a phone call or a payment or something like that?
And like you said, the Social Security Administration is never going to call you and ask for your Social Security number.
Unfortunately, people that have already been victims, even though they've been victims, sometimes they're so paranoid that their finances and different things are going to be taken again that they're just still not thinking straight, even though they've already been a victim once.
Absolutely. And can you tell us some other things that victims or citizens can do to protect themselves from scammers?
The biggest thing that I usually recommend is most everybody has caller ID. So if you're not recognizing the phone number, just let your voicemail pick up. If it's important and if it's legit, they will leave you a voicemail. But at least when you're listening to a voicemail, even if it's a scammer trying to get you to call back, at least that gives you that time where you can listen to it. You're not like being put on the spot where you have to answer like right away. And you can listen to it as many times as you want.
And most scammers aren't going to leave a message anyway, because those numbers that they call you from are temporary as it is.
Yeah, like Google numbers.
Right.
But I always tell people, like I said, if you don't recognize a number, it's okay to let your voicemail pick up, because again, if it's important and if it's, you know, a real phone call, they'll definitely leave a message. I encourage people all the time not to give out their information. And like I said, keep up with what's going on with your credit, because that's the best way to see if someone has actually gotten your information and has opened things up in your name and with your information.
I can tell you, even as a police officer and someone aware of these scams, it all has to do with timing too. Because if the timing is right or wrong for that matter, like, in other words, one time I was going through a process where I was applying for a loan. So in the back of my mind, I had that, oh, I'm in that process. And I got a phone call, and it was from the bank asking me for my Social Security number to move forward with the loan. And I was very hesitant. I was like, "You mean the last four digits of my social?" And they said, "No, we need the full one to go to the next step of your loan." and the person was very polite and nice on the phone, and I needed to move forward with that loan. So what did I do? I gave my full social, and I got off the phone, and I completely freaked out. I mean, I was like, I just gave my social security someone over the phone. I literally was losing my marbles. So I immediately Google the number that had just called me. And what's the first website that pops up? Scam alert, all these scams, like this phone number, who just scammed me. So now I'm really panicking. And I call the number back. And the same lady who called me answers. I tell her, hey, I'm just freaking out. This is why. And she said, hey, I understand. She gave me her name, her office number, and I Googled it, and she was legitimate. And I hadn't been scammed. But all it would have taken was that right or wrong moment where I'm expecting something and I get the call. And that was my point. It's like anyone can be suspect, and anyone could get tripped up by these scammers.
Right. And they're using, when they're spoofing numbers that are actual numbers that from the bank, so they can spoof the number to show a number from your bank is calling, or they'll spoof it to show that a number within the IRS is calling, but they're using that to gain information that they already have on you. So you got to even be careful from numbers that you know. If you're not expecting that phone call, like Bill just said, hang up, call back to someone there, actually at the branch or the office you're trying to get in touch with, and find out if they really do need that information. Don't just give it up readily.
You have to be careful with emails too, because there's a lot of fake emails. Like you said, they're using the phone numbers, but they're also using like the bank's logos and different things where you think you're getting an email from your bank, but you're really not. Another thing I do want to mention is a lot of times people don't report when they've been a victim of a scam or fraud or identity theft because they're embarrassed. I've had people I've spoke to and they're like, oh, I feel dumb, I should have known better. But it's important to report it. We can't always solve it because unfortunately a lot of times it's people from another country or whatever. But it's still important to report it. Let's talk about it. And again, try to make sure you don't become a victim again.
And jumping on the point of the embarrassment, I know that especially with our seniors, I mean, that's anyone gets embarrassed if they get scammed and would potentially not want to report it. But it's especially troubling with our seniors because there's a lot of times they're worried about how it may be perceived, that if they report that they've been scammed, then maybe someone will feel that they're not in control, and maybe they'll feel like they're going to get their control taken away from them, mm-hmm. or put somebody else in charge of them. That's and true. In some cases, that might be the case, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's someone they need that guiding hand, or they need someone to look out for them.
Right.
Someone like you, Becky.
I tried very hard.
Even just from a responding officer end, a lot of people from various issues will call and say, I didn't want to bother you, I didn't want to take your time up, but we're here 24/7, so there's really no bad time. We prioritize our calls, so if you need something, please call us and reach out, and we can come and have an officer document whatever situation needs to be documented for you.
Yeah, I say that a lot too, because like I said, there's days that we make contact with victims and we can't always solve the problem or, you know, do a lot about the situation they're in, but we want to reach out and let them know we do care and we are here if we can help you with anything. You never know what you're going to come across in the future that you may need some help or some resources or, you know, just someone to talk to figure out which direction to go in. So I try to always keep that line of communication open with not only my seniors, but anybody I come in contact with in our community.
Absolutely. And just so we make sure everybody's on the same page, if someone is a victim of a scam and they reach out to you, or what should they do, or what should their process be?
Well, I think the first thing they need to do is make a police report. So they would need to, usually they talk with an officer, but they definitely need to report it. And like I said, even if we can't necessarily solve it, at least we can try to educate them where they're not a victim again, and hopefully they will talk to their friends and people they're around and educate them as well.
Another thing is, if you receive some of these scam calls, I noticed that, like, so I still have my New York area code on my phone. So the area code is 718. So when I get strange phone calls, they tend to be from Brooklyn or New York area. So a lot of these scammers focus on your area code. So, and I've gotten numbers where it's almost the same as my phone number, but like one digit off. That's a telltale sign. Like if it looks like your phone number is calling you, that might be a scammer. There are apps I know on different phones, Android and iPhones, that can kind of determine whether it's scam or at least give you, hey, this might be a scam call. But the area code thing was something that, at least for me, I'm lucky. I'm down here. So if I get these 718 calls, I just send them right to voicemail.
A lot of times those numbers are not even your area code. They'll use the same number, the first three numbers of your phone number to
right.
make it look like it's more legitimate because that's familiar to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that familiarity breeds the complacency that, oh, it must be somebody that I either know or deal with. So, and to your point with the robo, the apps, a lot of them, I've tried a couple of them out. Some of them are free, some of them are paid. But they've done a pretty good job of putting things through or blocking things from coming through that I knew were going to be scams that I was going to send to voicemail anyway, but they went ahead and blocked it. So those are options for you as well, some free and paid apps for your phone.
Becky, one of the things you brought up are how scam cases aren't easily solved, and I just wanted to touch on that a little bit. And I think there's a lot of reasons for it, and some of it is the new technology that's out there. Like I said before, I think that some of these people are professionals, so you take that on top of the new technology. And LT touched on it before, but you can make your phone appear to be just the U.S. government or Charleston mm-hmm. County government or insert any sort of agency in there. And I've had experiences where I've been in a person's house and they've been scammed. They've called, I've taken the report, and someone called back to scam them. And I'm looking at the phone saying it's your local police department.
Right.
And I am the local police department, and that's not all matching up. So I certainly think the technology is a big problem in solving those cases because their technology is just as advanced. I think some of the other things with it are the scammers are not in our country. They're sitting somewhere across the world, and we run into some jurisdictional issues. The police department
to say the least.
Certainly can't jump on a plane and track down some of these leads. So with the jurisdiction and the technology, I don't know if anybody else has any roadblocks to these cases.
I think that's the biggest thing is jurisdiction. A lot of times while they may be out of state, most of the time we're finding they're out of country. So there's no way, like you said, Don, that we can fly to India or China or one of the countries mm-hmm. where we're seeing these calls come from and prosecute. And they know that. That's why they're targeting our people. They're targeting someone they know we can't go after. So I think that's probably the biggest issue is jurisdictional and out of country areas.
Yeah, that's a good point. Jurisdiction has a lot to do with it as well. Real quick, and I'm not going to talk on it a long time, but getting back to technology, a lot of times you'll have people that'll befriend seniors or someone that's not savvy on the computers and phones and things like that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then they try to friend them and say, you know, let me help you pay your bills and things like that. But they're literally stealing from them when the individual thinks that
they're
trusting them and they're being helped. So
that's,
technology is a huge barrier for scams and fraud and things like that.
That's certainly a good point. And if we run into any of those situations, we'll definitely work together with you and try to help out the best we can. But I think the takeaway is there ever any doubts, end the communication, contact the business you were dealing with directly, and that will alleviate a lot of these scams and problems.
And if there's any questions, if you're worried about possibly being scammed, you can call us. You can call 911 or you can call the department itself, and you can speak to Becky or you can speak to one of our officers. And that's going to wrap up our first podcast. I want to thank everyone for joining us today. I think we had a really good discussion, and we hope that you all got something out of this. I'm going to ask you all to do something for me before we go. I'm going to do this on every podcast, if they actually let me back for another podcast.
We're not sure about that yet.
Right. I'd like to ask you to all lock your car doors. Take your valuables from your car doors, especially your guns. One of our most common crimes in this town is theft from vehicles. It's frustrating because it's so easily avoided. If people were to lock their car doors and remove their valuables, these crimes would disappear overnight. So please, take your valuables out of your cars and lock those car doors. Stay safe. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening to the MPPD podcast.